This is the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome again to the Rise Up See Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com. And on the line, as is normally the case, is Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, SB Nation's Arizona Cardinals site. CardsWire, of course, is part of the USA Today NFL Wire. And we are here with episode 310 after taking a week off. And we are now at the time of the off season where we look, because camp is broke, like they broke for the summer. Nothing's happening until training camp at the end of the July. So now this is our yearly NFC West rankings show, where we're going to go through each position and position group. We're going to basically rank the individual players at the different positions, and then the different position groups compared to each other. Should be a pretty good episode, Seth, I can imagine, since guess what? The NFC West is honestly really close in terms of all four teams. I know you can look at, you could look at some divisions like the AFC North in terms of the Steelers, Browns, and Ravens, and they might have a better trio of teams, like overall. But when you go top to bottom, how the NFC West looks is that all four of these teams are capable of winning the division, and all four of these teams are capable of being postseason teams this year.
Yeah, they look, you know, the division looks like it's close to being tough to really discern who and where you're going to, you know, make your picks. And I think a lot of it's the changes that were made and the unknowns. And I mean, you look at, for instance, the 49ers, you really like what they have, but how long do they stay with Jimmy Garoppolo, and when do they go to Trey Lance, and how does that impact the team?
Well, that and the injuries that they're coming off of, they had so many injuries last year. I mean, honestly, the 49ers, they were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago and were winning the Super Bowl two seasons ago. The Rams look like world beaters. Well, heck, with the exception of the 49ers last year, that so they had a Super Bowl, there was a run by the rest of the, both, all three, the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Cardinals. There was a stretch last season where any and all of them looked like the best team in the NFC, to be honest. If Seattle started that way, the Rams had a, the Rams had a couple of runs like that, and the Cardinals had a run in the middle of the season where they looked like they could be the best team in the NFC. And so, you know, aside from San Francisco's injuries, they were already the best team in the NFC coming into the year. All three of the other teams looked like they could be the best.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, it's going to come down to a couple of things, I think. And we're going to, you know, crawl through that tonight is, you know, the positional battles and then the coaches. And you know, we both wrote about it today. Cliff Kingsbury ranked outside of the top 20 in terms of coaching.
And behind one of the new hires.
Yeah, Arthur Smith. And so it'll be interesting to see because, you know, the rest of those guys are ranked in the top 11. Shanahan's 11, Pete Carroll's 7, and Sean McVay 6. And so that's the question is Kingsbury really that much of a liability, or is the roster, you know, close enough? We're going to go through that today. And I think break down some stuff and really kind of get into the crux of everything.
So let's kick things off with the quarterback position. We're going to look at specifically the starters and then the backups. And let's start off with the quarterbacks. For you, who is the number one quarterback in the division? Is there a change from last year?
No, I think it's still got to be Russell Wilson. You know, there's some, obviously some issues that crept into Seattle by the end of last year, where they're basically, they basically stunk at the end of last year, I guess that's the easiest way to put it, and got bounced in the first round of the playoffs by the Los Angeles Rams starting John Wolford. But Russ still drives that bus, and he's, one of the top five quarterbacks
in the NFL. Yeah,
in the NFL still, and that makes him, the best in the division. Although, I think number two's closing the gap.
And I still have Russ as number one, obviously. But for me, for number two, it's a toss-up for me. And I give Matthew Stafford the slight edge based on his career, but I believe Kyler Murray possibly overtakes him this year. So I give Stafford a slight edge over Kyler Murray. But if I project to the season they could have, I think Kyler might overtake him. Do you have Kyler or Stafford as your number two?
I'm actually going to kind of go opposite of you. I want to see Stafford produce in the Rams offense under Sean McVay. I understand what he did in Detroit with the deficiencies they had there. But I think at his age and with his, back issues that he's had, I want to see him produce at a high level before I'm saying he's better than what I've seen from Kyler under Cliff Kingsbury. So for that reason, I would still have Kyler at number two. And I think he's got a real chance to close the gap on number one this year.
That would be interesting. And I for Cardinals fans, that'd be fantastic. Now, I put Stafford ahead of Murray, and it's because of this. I see him having the type of impact on the Rams, which is already a freaking good team in terms of talent, that Carson Palmer did with the Cardinals when he came over. I have equated Matthew Stafford's career to Carson Palmer's for the last 5-6 seasons. In fact, he was the player I wish the Cardinals could have somehow acquired in 2017, 2018 to just kind of keep the ball rolling, because in terms of talent, you will not find a more talented quarterback in terms of raw talent and arm talent and smarts. Just like Carson Palmer was the perfect build of a quarterback. He was an elite quarterback talent who had an above average career, and that's kind of what Stafford has had. He's underperformed in terms of wins, and I think putting him in the McVay offense is going to be scary. And as we get to the point, a little bit more about the teams, I felt, and I've said this on a few broadcasts, and you'll hear me say it over in the opponent previews that are coming up, I kind of think that the Rams are probably, for me, the favorite in the entire NFC, even though there's some questions they have. So I think Stafford is going to be lights out this year. Kyler, I am bullish on Kyler as well, especially with the upgrades in the offensive line and at receiver. And so I think those passing numbers, I think the passing game will unlock a little bit more. We already saw in terms of what he could achieve, we talked about the potential of a 5,000 combined yard season. That's also possible this year. He just missed 4,000 yards. Had he not gotten injured in the finale, he would have had over 4,000 yards passing. I think he's going to be into the 40 to 4,500 yard range this year with the, anywhere between 600 and 800 rushing yards. So 5,000 combined is on the table again. It's not because of the lack of talent. Jimmy Garoppolo is a very talented quarterback. Unfortunately, in the division that he's at, I put him behind the rest, especially since he's going to be replaced at some point this year.
Yeah, and that'll be the big thing is, you know, you like Garoppolo, but he's clearly at the point where he's a placeholder. And so the question becomes, you know, where do you put Trey Lance? And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how soon Lance takes over for Garoppolo.
Now, let's talk the backups, because we know the situation here. So no longer is it Chris Streveler or Brett Hundley. Colt McCoy comes in to be the backup in Arizona. You've got Trey Lance, who is basically the backup, who's the heir apparent in San Francisco. In Seattle, you've got Geno Smith still there. And L.A., you've got John Wolford, who came in and started in the playoffs and beat the Cardinals and things like that. For you, who is the number one backup of this group?
I would guess I'd say Trey at this point, even though he is a rookie, because he's the only one that I think you seriously consider to be a starter. From a pure backup standpoint, I don't know. I mean, I think Wolford showed the most. Geno's got the most experience having, you know, limited success. And McCoy's kind of the steadiest. You know what you're going to get from him, right? Like, so all three have their merits. I would just say right now for me, it goes, I guess Lance would be the top backup, you know, just again, based on the fact that he's the only one that really you look at as a potential starter. But pure backups, I would probably go Wolford and then Smith and then McCoy. But I really do think you can flip a coin on any of those three.
I actually have McCoy rated the top backup in terms of what a backup does. And I only have him ahead of Trey Lance. Trey Lance is my number two. Only because he hasn't done anything yet. And so Lance as a quarterback is an unknown. Would I especially now, if I were in the Cardinals situation, Colt McCoy, I would take Colt McCoy over any of the other three quarterbacks, because having Trey Lance as your backup to Kyler Murray is an interesting one, because you've got a future franchise quarterback backing up your current franchise quarterback. That doesn't work. But so I put McCoy as backup. If you need him for a start, if you need him to finish a game, I like him the most out of those four. Trey Lance, I put next because he's got the, you know, the future franchise tag basically on there. Wolford, we saw. I put Geno ahead of Wolford in terms of experience. And Wolford, to me, even though he did a little bit last year, I'm not sold on him.
Yeah, and that's the hard thing. I mean, that's what I said. Like, Wolford did the most out of any of them. But you look at it and you see what, you know what you're going to get when Colt McCoy comes in. So that makes it, I mean, that's the hard thing is
then the people are listening. They're like, why are they wasting time ranking backups? Because that's what we're doing, guys.
Well, that, and let's be honest, outside of Russell Wilson, everybody in this division gets hurt all the time and misses a game or so. So,
yep.
So you're inevitably going to see him at least once.
Moving to the running back position. Let's rate the actual running backs, rank them in terms of order, and then we'll rank the teams in terms of their 1-2 punch. Here's my rankings for. Actually, I have basically the top six. I have Chris Carson as the number one back, and I think that's merited because of what he's done. In terms of overall talent, this is, I don't know, but these are basic. So I think second is Cam Akers in LA. 3, 4, and 5 to me is James Conner, Raheem Mostert, and Chase Edmonds. I think you can flip-flop any of those. I put Connor ahead of the other two because he has a better track record. Like, he has a Pro Bowl. He has a better season to his credit. Mostert still hasn't carried the ball more than 137 times. Edmonds, who has the fewest touches of that group in terms of carries. And so that's how I have them. And I put Rashad Penny behind them. He's basically an afterthought. So my top six go Carson, Akers, Connor, Mostert, Edwards, Penny, and with the unknown being Trey Sermon in San Francisco, who is the wild card for their running game right now in San Francisco.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, I would agree with your top two. From there, it just becomes tough because you have a bunch of guys that have really never done it completely. I think I would go Mostert and then Connor, Edmonds, and then Sermon. But it is tough, and it's just one of those things where outside of Carson, nobody's done it consistently enough to be the guy. So again, you're looking at things like Cam Akers. If he has a full season like he did the back half of 2020, he's the best running back in the division, right? Like, he's the easy number one with a bullet. But if Raheem Mostert stays healthy and carries, you know, is able to get 200 plus carries, he could put up more yards than anybody else in Kyle Shanahan's offense. Connor, you know, is a guy that looks like he can be a steady producer. It's just interesting. I just think that when it's all said and done, this season, coming into the season, you have to go with the known in Carson, and then from there, it's who you expect the most from, and that's why I would say Akers, and then Mostert, and then James Conner.
Who is, so if we're talking 1-2 tandems, you've got Edmonds and Conner here, you've got Carson and probably Penny in Seattle, you've got Mostert and Sermon in San Francisco, and you've got Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson probably is who will be the number two in LA. Who is your number one duo?
You know, I would say the Cardinals, just because I think either of the guys are quality starters in the NFL, but I really like Trey Sermon. Like, I really like Trey Sermon. But that's the thing, is Sermon's only going to get the quality carries if Mostert's hurt again, which then goes to what we talked about earlier. They're not a 1-2 punch. So I would say it's the Cardinals, then the 49ers. I literally have no opinion on Rashad Penny at this point, because I'm not going to, you know, he hasn't been healthy, and it's not fair to expect anything from him. I just hope he stays healthy and can have a chance to show what he can do on the field. That's my opinion on him. So I would say right now it's Cardinals, 49ers, Rams, and then Seahawks.
I've got
as tandems.
I've got Arizona and San Francisco in that order. I put Seattle ahead of LA because I feel ambivalent basically towards Rashad Penny and Daryl Henderson. And I did have Carson ahead of Akers.
Yeah, and I would only pick the Rams over the Seahawks just because of the health of Henderson over Penny at this point.
And
let's be honest, too, Chris Carson hasn't been healthy
every
year either. So.
So let's move to receiver, which is an interesting – there are some talented receivers in this division. And
the Cardinals still have the best, which is always nice.
Yes. Can we agree that the number one receiver in this division is DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah, I think that's an easy one with the bullet. And then the question really starts at three for me, because number two is pretty easy as well.
Is it DK for you?
Yeah.
Same. So at number – so Hop,
so let's
DK.
Not, let's just not even bring up that they could – that could be the pairing in Arizona. We won't even talk about that.
So looking at the next group. So for me, I've got three, four, and five, really close. I've got Robert Woods slightly ahead of Tyler Lockett, slightly ahead of Cooper Kupp. in terms of Woods has been a more like Woods. I think Lockett for me, some of the durability and age come up now. Yeah. Woods has been a little more consistent, a little longer. And Cup, I think that he's been so productive, but I think of sheer talent, he's just behind Woods and Lockett, in my opinion. So that's how I'd rank them 3, 4, 5. How about you?
I would just flip Lockett and Woods. I think Cup could probably be ahead of Woods, but again, you're talking about health concerns, consistency of health concerns with Cup over everything else. So I would say, you know, you've got DeAndre Hopkins, and then you've got the Seattle duo, and then the Rams duo, which, you know, and that's not a slight at San Francisco. I think Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel are probably 6 and 7.
Yes, agreed. But they stay healthy. I was talking to Kyle Madsen on Niners Wire, one of the previews coming up in the next couple of shows. He loves Ayuk even more than he likes Samuel. So those are two guys that in a year from now, if they stay healthy, could have big years this year.
Yeah, and you could be talking about, you know, Ayuk pushing Woods and Cup down the list, where only one of them's in the top five, and you know, or for you, Lockett and Cup down the list, where, you know, okay, so Seattle still has the two best, but you've got a really, you know, you've got a really exciting young duo in Ayuk and Samuel.
For me, AJ Green is an interesting case, and I got him behind the San Francisco receivers. And so my last two that I rated are AJ Green and Christian Kirk. Van Jefferson I would put behind them still, and the number three receiver in Seattle is kind of a toss up. Or DeSean Jackson. I don't believe DeSean Jackson has much left in the tank, but AJ Green could be the third best in this division. Behind DK, potentially, because of his pedigree. And if he shows, like, if he is what the Cardinals believe he is, he could be really good. And I think he could be as good as the number three, depending on what we see. I don't want to make that claim now.
Yeah, and you know what, though? Even if you get him up to six, if Hopkins is still number one, you have 6 and 7 or 6 and 8, that would be massive for this team. And it doesn't matter. I mean, we're saying AJ Green, even if it's Christian Kirk and Ronald Moore, I mean, just having three guys in the top seven would be massive for this team.
So in terms of the team, the rooms, let's go top three receivers. Who's got the best trio to you? Here's what the trio looks like in Arizona. We're going to say Hopkins, Green, Kirk. We're going to assume that's going to be the case. Rondale Moore is going to have to really, really impress to get playing time over Kirk. In L.A., they've got Woods, Cup, and presumably DeSean Jackson. In Seattle, they have Ayuk. They have Deebo Samuel, and then their third receiver is kind of a
probably Mohamed Sanu, maybe.
Oh, Jay true. Lewis. Yes. Sanu, I forgot about Sanu. He wasn't any good anywhere, but he's intriguing.
He's been good in the past, but he's like a watered down version of Samuel and Ayuk at this point.
Yes.
Isn't it?
And then you got DK, you've got Tyler Lockett, and I don't know who's going to be the number three.
I think they're going to have Dwayne Eskridge be the third guy.
Potentially, yeah. And he's such an unknown right now. And they run a lot of two tight ends. And so that third receiver is going to be used less often than the other three teams.
Well, and the interesting thing is going to be for them, and I know we're going to use the position in a second, but if their sets are Lockett, Metcalf, and then Gerald Everett.
Yeah.
That's going to be what's interesting, because you've got two athletic freaks in Metcalf and Everett, and then you've got the savvy route runner who's going to just be open a lot in Tyler Lockett. You know, but we're going straight up wide receiver duos, because, I mean, it's not fair to put George Kittle in either, because the Cardinals don't have a George Kittle, so let's not do that right now. But yeah, I think when you look at it from a division standpoint or like a room standpoint, I probably take Seattle at one, and then it's a toss up. If you like Van Jefferson and you think he's the number three guy in LA, okay. You know, that's a lot of slot receiver work between Woods, Kupp, and Van Jefferson. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but three guys, you know, kind of with similar skill sets, that's a lot of the same. Obviously you're projecting that you're going to get a better AJ Green in Arizona, but I do think, you know, Arizona as a room you like better than both LA and San Francisco right now, even though the top two in both LA and San Francisco are higher than the top two in Arizona. I think that two and three designation is where it kind of evens out. So I would take Seattle at one, Arizona at two, and then I would probably say LA at three and San Francisco at four.
I actually put Arizona at the top, and if I look at the top three, I believe in AJ Green this year, and I think Kirk is a better three than any other team has. Kirk is a fringe two. They still have high hopes for him in terms of what he can do. So I actually put Arizona in one for the trio, followed by the Rams, because their three is better than for me, Seattle and San Francisco, because there's too much unknown about who their three is to me. And coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red Podcast, the SR of Cardinals talk on the web, we will move on to talk about the tight ends, the offensive line, and defensive line. That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise of Sea Red Podcast, the best of our Cardinals talk on the web. We'll just talk for tight ends, just individuals. I think it's very clear. Number one, George Kittle, best tight end probably in the NFL. He's got to stay healthy. The question is what happens after that. Who's your number two behind Kittle?
You know, I go back and forth. I like Disley, and I like Higbee. I would probably say Higbee just because health has been more on his side at this point than either Max Williams or Will Disley, you know. So I would say it's probably Higbee. I would probably go Williams after that and then Disley. And that's not a shot at Disley. I think you can – any of those three, you can make a case for them to be the number two, but I mean, they're all playing for second place. It doesn't really matter.
It's true. I have Higbee as the number two behind Kittle. Then for me, it's a toss up between Gerald Everett and Will Disley. I think in the offense they're running, because it's a Rams offense, basically the Cardinals are going to face three offenses that are run the same way, with the Rams, Seahawks, and 49ers. The 49ers and Rams, their run games are, while they look different in personnel, they are the same in philosophy. And now the Seahawks hired a Rams offensive guy, so the Cardinals are going to see a lot of the same type of offense. I'm going to put Everett just ahead of Disley, followed by Max Williams. And that's what that is for me, is because even though Williams I really, really like as a tight end, he will give you the least out of all those in terms of pass production.
Well, he's just got to stay healthy. I mean, if he's the force he was in the run game 2 years ago, and he gives you anything in the passing game, he becomes, you know, invaluable. But the reality is he has to be on the field consistently. It's just something that he hasn't done.
At left tackle, in terms of the offensive line, in terms of the individual, but we're just going to look at the left tackle position because there's too many to deal with. So what's interesting now is that every single team has a really good left tackle.
We should look at the center position too, just so we can say the Cardinals have the best one.
Well, yes.
But yeah,
they have the best center in the NFL.
Yeah. But you look at the left tackle position, and it's a really tough group. And you can really make a case for any of these guys at two. I still feel like Trent Williams is the number one left tackle in this division. He kind of, you know, proved last year how dumb Washington was.
Right.
And, you know, thanks for that, Washington, because that's just what Arizona needed. You get rid of Joe Staley and, oh, you upgrade. Good job. Yeah.
Like, it's really hard to do, by the way. Right. Staley was damn good for a long time.
And so I say Trent Williams is one. And then you really can make a case for any of the guys to be number two. And it may sound homerish, but I think just from the youthfulness and the continued growth, I think Humphreys is number two.
Correct. I agree. I've got Trent as my number one, DJ is my number two. But that's not a slight on the other two guys, which tells you a lot, because I think it was last year when I wrote the rankings, I said the NFC West tackle situation are three great guys and three proven players and DJ Humphreys.
And he's proven himself now.
Right,
and he finally has put it all together and become kind of one of those guys. And you look at it, and I truly do think he's one of the, you know, 5 to 7 best left tackles in the NFL now, and that's a huge thing. It just happens to be that Trent Williams, one of the, you know, 2 to 3 best left tackles in the NFL.
Right. And, you know, if it weren't for the Trent Williams and the David Bakhtiaris in the NFC, this Humphreys would get more recognition. This is the first year he's been great. And so it'll be interesting to see how that goes next year. Now, my number three, number four, it's toss-up. I have Andre Whitworth just ahead of Dwayne Brown, although I think anyone could make an argument for Brown over Whitworth. Whitworth has been really good. He's just really old, and I don't know how much is left in the tank. I think this is probably going to be his last year.
Well, and I would flip him just for that reason. I think Brown at number three, and you have Whitworth at four just because of the age. I mean, Whitworth has been so good for so long. I mean, it's kind of baffling that three of the four left tackles in the NFL are in their mid to late 30s.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just incredible that they've all been that good for that long.
Now, if we look at the offensive lines as a unit, this is where it gets tricky. I think the Cardinals might actually have the best offensive line in the division, which is weird. L.A. clearly had it a couple years ago, but they've got questions. So here's my rankings. I put Arizona first, L.A. second, San Francisco third, and Seattle fourth, because Seattle's is kind of a question mark. So Arizona, what I like. So they've got great left tackle. Now, everyone's got a good left tackle. Cardinals have the best center. If I were to rate the right tackles, I'd put Calvin Beecham ahead of all of them. And Justin Pugh, I think, is probably about as good. He's an above-average guard. He's an above-average to pretty good guard. And then the right guard position is kind of a toss-up. So there's a question at right guard, but I feel good about four of those five positions. If you look at the Rams, you feel good. You feel great about Whitworth. You feel great, or you feel pretty good about Havenstein at right tackle. They have a new center in Austin Corbett, and then their guard positions are kind of in flux as well. While in San Francisco, you've got solid tackle positions. Their interior is fine. In Seattle, you get good left tackle. You added Gabe Jackson was good, but then I think the rest of their line has questions.
You know, you talk about San Francisco. San Francisco obviously has the best left tackle. They should have the best right tackle. McGlinchey just hasn't.
He's fine.
He just hasn't taken the next step that you were expecting him to take after such a solid rookie season. Lincoln Tomlinson has been a revelation there, but it's not like he's been, you know, an all pro. He's been similar to what the Cardinals have in Justin Pugh. The difference was they gave up nothing for him because he sucked in Detroit. And then Alex Mack is just old at this point.
And people in those, like, he's good, but even people in Atlanta say that he's not good anymore.
Yeah, I mean, 35-year-old center. I mean, we're hoping that when Hudson's 35 at the end of his contract, that he's, you know, playing at a high level still. But we also wouldn't be heartbroken if he probably leaves at 35, right? Like, if he goes and gets paid one more time at 35, we're not going to be crying too much, because 35, I mean, that's just so old for the center position. You know, the Seahawks, I know they like Pochick. I know they like Damian Lewis, but Gabe Jackson was kind of a shell of his former self in Oakland. So they're betting on a really big right side of the offensive line and Gabe Jackson and Brandon Shell. I don't like it. If you had one of those guys, I think you'd be okay. But having both of them, it'd be like if the Cardinals didn't re-sign Kelvin Beecham, right? Like, you're wagering on two unknowns instead of just one. And now, don't get me wrong, if Gabe Jackson gets back to Pro Bowl form, that's a different, but I just don't know if he has that left in him anymore. So for me, I would say it's probably, I like San Francisco and then Arizona, and then LA's got Austin Corbett listed as a guard for right now.
He's going to be their center.
And Brian Allen as the center. So is that what they're thinking?
Yeah.
Is that, then that's even worse. I don't know. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a coin flip really between LA and Seattle, which is devastating for LA after what they had in their Super Bowl run in 2019.
Moving to the defensive line, again, we're talking individuals and then units. And we'll essentially, when we look at the units, we'll basically, the two main interiors will be there for nickel, for lack of a better way to do it, since half the teams are 4-3, half the things are 3-4. I mean, we know, number one's Aaron Donald. We have to debate that. He's might be the best player in football. But this where gets interesting, because with Jaron Reed. Yeah. Jaron Reed was fantastic. He's not in the division anymore. So my number two and number three are Cardinals. I've got J.J. Watt and Jordan Phillips. But that's, to me, that's simply because there's a lot of unknowns. J.J. Watt, I think, of the division and in the division, is still the second best interior defender. And then Jordan Phillips, based on his season in 2019, we had the 9.5 sacks, this amazing season. And when he was healthy, he was disruptive. The problem was the hamstring. And let's hope he stays healthy, because it would be awful to see him be a bust of a pick, a signing, at the amount that he got paid. But for you, who are the next two behind Aaron Donald for you?
Yeah, looking at the interior, you got, like you said, you have a lot of question marks. Seattle is... you know, you look at Puna Ford and Al Woods, they're nice players, but they're akin to, you know, what you're hoping to get out of Lecky Fotu and
Rashard Lawrence.
Yeah, Rashard Lawrence. San Francisco, you know, we were both Javon Kinlaw fans coming out last year, not at the 8th overall pick, and he hasn't really done much in the way of showing that he can be a consistent disruptor to replace DeForest Buckner, who he was, you know, basically traded for. And like you said, the Rams, without Michael Brockers, it just clears the way for the Cardinals to have the second guy in J.J. Watt. From there, it's a pick your poison type thing. I mean, it's really bad. I shouldn't have said it like that, but, you know, I would say Javon Kinlaw is probably third.
And I put him just after Phillips.
But then you have, who is it? You know, Jordan Phillips? Is it Zach Allen? Like, who, you know, is it Sebastian Joseph Day, who has, you know, always seemed to kill the Cardinals?
A'shaun Robinson, the Rams just added.
I mean, it's just there's a bunch of guys, but none of them you're saying like, oh yeah, that's the guy. I mean, it's Donald and Watt, and then questions.
Now, in terms of a unit, for you, if we're looking at top two line defensive tackles, I put the Cardinals first. I don't know if that's just homerish. That I think that I'm accounting for an improved Jordan Phillips, but compared to, so Aaron Donald trumps everything, but Aaron Donald and A'shaun Robinson, or J.J. Watt and Jordan Phillips, I like the pairing of Watt and Phillips a little bit more. So I go Cardinals, Rams, 49ers with DJ Jones and Javon Kinlaw, and then Seattle with Puna Ford and whoever is the other guy.
Yeah, I would still give LA the nod just because that's how much I respect where Aaron Donald's at. Just like 5 years ago, we would have done the same for the Houston Texans and J.J. Watt. And then I say the Cardinals, and you know, the only thing holding the Cardinals back from being number one is what you're going to get from a health perspective from both Phillips and Watt. If both of them can play, you know, 14 plus games and be healthy for the postseason, then you're in a great spot. You know, if God forbid both of them play less than 10 games and struggle, you know, to get on the field, then
the Cardinals have a problem anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, I would say so LA, Arizona, and then from there, I guess I'm going to go San Francisco with the Kinlaw upside over the steadiness of what Ford and Woods bring to the table in Seattle.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Secret Podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. We're going to move on to talk about the edge defenders and also the off-the-ball linebackers. That's coming up next on Rise Up Secret. We're back on the Rise Up Secret Podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's look at the edge defenders, the pass rushers. And this is an interesting group because there are some nice individuals. I'm not ready to put Nick Bosa over Chandler Jones. So even though Chandler Jones is coming back from an injury, so is Nick Bosa. To me, Chandler Jones, numero uno on that list, followed by Nick Bosa. Who are your top two?
Yeah, I think that's an easy call, top two. I would still take Jones, although it probably is homerish of us. Here's what I'll say. If Nick Bosa plays 16 games and Jones plays 16 games, I won't be surprised that Nick Bosa is the better player. But I want to see both of them stay healthy.
Who's your number three after Bosa? Mine is Carlos Dunlap in Seattle. He was very important to them. And he kind of turned things up for around defensively. And I think even though initially he didn't look that great, I think he is a very disruptive player. I like him a little bit more than the guys that follow on the list.
What's Leonard Floyd considered? I guess that would be
he's an edge. I have him behind Dunlap, just behind Dunlap.
Okay, I would say Floyd over Dunlap just because of age and that reason would be really it.
And so you go Floyd, then Dunlap?
Yeah, Floyd and then Dunlap, yeah.
What? I have in two positions because I think he's going to play two positions. So I put J.J. Watt still as an edge defender. You know, the stat came out early in the offseason that he was double-teamed more. There were, of all edge defenders, he was double-teamed more than anyone else in the league. So there's a reason why that it is. So I still put him above San Francisco's Eric Armstead, former San Francisco, now Seattle Seahawks, Kerry Hyder. And then after that, it doesn't really matter to me because that kind of covers. Because the Samson Ebukam,
No, he's not there.
That's right.
They're kind of listing A'shaun as their edge guy in the 3-4 with Leonard Floyd is their stand-up guy. So it'll be – that's what I'm saying.
Justin Hollins is the one that's listed on ESPN. I think that makes a little more sense. And
so it'll be interesting to kind of see how this goes because I think edge guys. I think, like, as an edge, like, pass rushing unit, I think, like, the Cardinals are the best with Watt,
yep.
Jones, and Golden, and even Devin Kennard.
And I have... what is interesting, why I did it this way. I put the Rams ahead of the 49ers, even though... No, that's false. I can't do that. San Francisco's better. San Francisco is number two because they've got Bosa, and you know the X factor for them, they've got Armstead, is if Dee Ford can play. If Dee Ford's healthy, that's a game changer for them, and it looks like he might. And I kind of forgot about him in the individual rankings. I would put Dee Ford, if I'm looking at the edge guys, I'd put him behind Watt ahead of Armstead, but that's a healthy Dee Ford.
Yeah, so I think that would be a fair assessment.
Oh, never mind. Ha, I was looking at the wrong thing. I did, in fact, put San Francisco next. So it goes Cardinals, 49ers. I do Seattle next because I like the pairing of Hyder, who is a sneaky good player. He think of what the Cardinals got out of Benson Mayoa in 2018. He ended up leading the 49ers in sacks last year. But if he's your leading sack guy, it's probably not that great a team. But pairing him with Carlos Dunlap, I think, is good. And simply because that the other edge position for the Rams is kind of a question mark is where I have them as the last of the four teams in terms of edge.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I mean, if we don't count Aaron Donald, then you have a lot of questions, you know, after Leonard Floyd.
Off the ball. So we go to the off the ball backers. And here's the question. At number one, do you take Fred Warner or Bobby Wagner? Me, I'm going Warner, but not my much.
Yeah, and I think that's fair just because of age. Warner is entering his prime as Wagner's leaving his prime. They're both fantastic, and you know you'd be dumb to not expect both of them by the end of the year to still be the top two linebackers in the division. But let's hope for our sake that three and four are wearing Cardinal red.
I put Dre Greenlaw as my number three. I like the pairing of Warner and Greenlaw.
And I think that's accurate and fair going into the season.
Yes.
Isaiah
Simmons is my number four because we need him to be special this year. Let's be honest.
Well, and he was as productive as Jordan Brooks in Seattle. And then the guys in Los Angeles, I mean, they're not bad, but I feel
Kaiser
like
was better than expected, and Young made some plays. But that said, I go Dre, I go Simmons, I go Kaiser in L.A., then Young in L.A., then Zaven Collins, the rookie, and then Jordan Brooks. Maybe I just don't. I didn't think he was. I think it'd be better than he was, obviously, but I like Collins' potential playmaking over Brooks, and Kenny Young is, but like that pairing of Kaiser and Young is sneaky okay, but it might be because of scheme.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting because they lost obviously Brandon Staley, who did a fantastic job with them last year, and so we'll see what that looks like. You know, I think when it comes to the units, obviously you have San Francisco at number one. They're just, I mean, like you said, Warner and then Greenlaw is the third guy. It would have been more interesting to see if Seattle would have retained KJ Wright, where we would have gone with this, because, man, that was a good tandem for a long time.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Who's your number two?
That's where it gets tough because I guess you would go Seattle.
That's where I was. He's still got Bobby Wagner. He's still fantastic. Jordan Brooks has some upside. But Arizona's not far behind, and I think it'll come down to the Simmons play this year. I love the upside of Simmons and the upside of Collins. But, I mean,
I don't think either of us expect Simmons or Collins to unseat Warner. And Wagner is the top two. But like I said, if they're 3 and 4 or 4 and 5, then you've got your investment worth.
And the bringing up the back end, obviously, is the Rams with Kaiser and Young. And that's not to say that, like, they entering last year, it was a question mark. Kaiser and Young were better than expected. Kaiser was a big question mark. His absence in the middle of the season, at some point during the season, was tough on their defense, and he really helped them in their return. But coming up next on the Rise of Sea Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web, let's move on to the defensive backfield. The defensive backfield, we'll talk cornerbacks, we'll talk safeties. That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. The cornerback position, we'll talk individuals, we'll talk units. This is, again, as we're finding out with almost all the positions here, there is a clear number one. That would definitely be Jalen Ramsey in Los Angeles. But after that, it's not as clear. Who's your number two?
I go back and forth. I'd probably say Jason Verrett, but that's with the caveat that he has to stay healthy. That's really tough, though. After Ramsey, it's not a great group, right?
So Darius Williams is something that analytically with the Rams. So they lose Troy Hill, who is really good. Darius Williams makes, especially when you look at the analytics, Pro Football Focus, Touchdown Wire, they love him. They actually have both as top 10 cornerbacks in the NFL, both Ramsey and Darius Williams. So I rank Williams number two, slightly over Jason Verrett. A healthy Verrett is... that could be a coin flip there. Who I put as my number four? Again, sure, I've got my Cardinals homer showing. I got Byron. I got Byron there because I think he is really on the verge. So last year he made big strides, and there was something about him in training camp that looked different. There's something even different now. He's lost the young kid look. Like, if you look, he and Chase Edmonds both, and we didn't talk, but they, Murphy in year three, Edmonds in year four, they don't look like young players anymore. Their bodies have matured. Their faces have matured. I think Byron's going to be good this year, and the Cardinals, obviously, they're counting on it being good. So I have Byron Murphy as the number four corner in the division.
Yeah, and I would still take Butler over him. So I would say Malcolm Butler is the number four corner of the division. But from there, I think Murphy would probably be your number five.
Yeah, and I've got Butler number five, which is interesting because you've got no Seattle cornerbacks in the top five, and that's because there's some question marks. I mean, DJ Reed is hurt. They brought in Akella Witherspoon, who was nothing special with the 49ers.
Yeah.
Pierre Desir, who's got some good film, but some really bad film too. Trey Flowers, Ugo Amadi is decent in the slot. But their cornerbacks, when you go from Shaq Griffin and Quentin Dunbar, they've downgraded in terms of talent. Now, durability might be a little bit better, maybe, which might improve things. But I'd even put Emmanuel Mosley, San Francisco's presumed other starter on the outside, and then Kaywan Williams, their slot guy.
I was going to say, Kaywan may be the best slot guy in the group.
And that's before any of the Seattle cornerbacks.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. But again, I think corner is one of those positions in this group where you just look at it and it's clear, like you said, Jalen Ramsey. From there, it's a lot of questions and hemming and hawing on what you expect. Like I said, I would take Verrett, but that's the caveat if he's healthy. you know, that and that's been a big question for him.
As a unit, I like the Rams first, but especially with the pairings, as I really like, obviously, Ramsey and Darius Williams is quite solid. I put San Francisco ahead of the Cardinals, even though, and that's, I'm not as much in love with Mosley, but Verrett's good. Kaywan Williams is very good in the slot. While in Arizona, there's still kind of a question mark. You've got Byron Murphy, who's going to be in the slot, but also is kind of their number one corner who plays in the slot. Malcolm Butler, and either Robert. If Rob Alford is healthy, that's going to be fun to see. Otherwise, as dark was Denard, and or maybe Marco Wilson. Which honestly, if Marco Wilson beats people out, awesome. I don't want to see him as a rookie year, really. And then obviously Seattle's at the back end because we didn't really like anything that they've got in terms of cornerbacks.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's a fair way to do it. You know, Seattle or sorry, San Francisco and Arizona could be a toss up because you've got the talent with the injury issues of San Francisco with the solid veteran play of Butler and then the expected growth of Byron Murphy. If Murph takes the step that we're expecting, then, you know, Arizona's going to have the number two corner unit in the division. There's zero chance that they can compete for number one, barring a Ramsey injury. And that's just the reality. Cause you're talking about the best corner in the NFL.
At safety though, who's your number one? Do you put Buddha there or do you put Jamal Adams there?
I prefer Buddha over Jamal. I don't have any like issues with Jamal, but there are some known issues with Jamal Adams that, you know, have to be addressed, including, you know, is he going to play?
That's true. And he's a less disciplined player within a scheme than Buddha is. But in terms of talent, Adams is obviously, if you look at his draft says, Adams can do more. But I do put Buddha number one, but it's more like 1A and Jamal is 1B to me.
Yeah, and I think the unit, those two are the top two, but I don't think either the Cardinals or the Seahawks have the best safety unit in the division, as we'll kind of
interesting to, because I've got Quandre Diggs next for me.
So I like both Jaquiski Tartt and Jimmy Ward for San Francisco as my three and four. You can flop them either way. Ward's biggest issue has obviously been his health.
Tartt got an injury.
And that'll be interesting to see this year, obviously, how he comes back from that. So, you know, those will be the interesting things, because Diggs, you know, is your number, I guess, five, so to speak.
And me, it goes Quandre, it goes Diggs, then Ward, then Tartt. But yeah, Ward, Tartt kind of interchangeable to me.
Yeah, and so I like Diggs, but I think, and maybe it's the scheme and the way they play together, I don't think Diggs and Adams play off each other as well as Tartt and Ward do. But that's also, like I said, could be scheme, and it could be, as you talked about, the discipline of Adams and Diggs not being able to kind of do his job as well.
After that, I actually put Taylor Rapp in L.A. just ahead of Jalen Thompson, even though Jalen Thompson is a guy I really like. Losing that Jaylen's season last year was rough.
Jalen's got to stay healthy, but he's a talented guy. And that's the thing is, you know, when you look at these groupings, you've got – a lot of young talent, which is one of the more fun things about these groups.
After JT, I put the presumed other starter for the Rams, Jordan Fuller. They are going to miss John Johnson. He was fantastic. He was fantastic when he was healthy. And so as a unit, I've got Seattle ahead of Arizona. And then I've got San Francisco, even though I like their duo, followed by the Rams. But here's the thing. I kind of like all the safeties in the NFC West. I think every team has a solid unit if they're all healthy. The pairing of Jamal and Quandre is good. Buddha and JT, Ward and Tart, Rapp and Fuller, they're all very good safety units.
See, and I would take San Francisco's one. I would put Arizona two with Seattle three. I'm just not as high on Diggs. And I'm not quite as high on Jamal Adams. I think he's a very good player, but I think he freelances a little much for my taste. And you know, Seattle's defense didn't necessarily take a whole lot of steps back when he wasn't on the field.
That's true. That's true. Coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web, we will bring this episode to a close talking about the specialists, the coaches, and how we rate the teams. That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's talk a little bit about the kickers and punters. An interesting way to look at these, because you've got two old guys in Robbie Gould and Matt Prater for the 49ers and Cardinals, and then lesser proven in Jason Myers in Seattle, Matt Gay in L.A. But here's the thing. Jason Myers made every single one of his field goals last year. That said, for you, who's the number one kicker in the division?
I think it's going to be Prater. You know, the biggest leg of the group. And outside of last year, he's had a lot of consistency throughout his career.
Crazy clutch. He's great in the clutch.
And so from there, it's hard to bet against Gould, right? But at some point, you have to assume he's not going to be able to kick 50-yard or, you know, 48-yard field goals and make them every time. I guess I would go Myers, then Gould, and I'm just guessing Gould finally, Father Time catches up with him. But, I mean, realistically, I think everybody but Gay, you can make an argument for them being the best one. And that's not a shot at Matt Gay. I just am saying realistically, the other three have been more consistent and or had better seasons or coming off better seasons.
And I have it the rank like this. I've got Gould, Prater, Myers, and then Gay. Gould, I his track record, I give a little bit more. And the fact he's had to do it for better teams. And then Prater has, which is the other part to that. So Prater's been good.
And that's a fair – that definitely is a fair thing. Like clutchness in
– meaningful games?
Yeah, meaningful games is a lot different than making pressure kicks for the Detroit Lions.
And I don't know, the punters. I know. Why are we rating punters? I think Seattle's Michael Dixon. They're, by the way, all four punters are fantastic in the division. But like you saw what the Seahawks were willing to pay Michael Dixon. I think he is the class of the division right now, but it's not by a whole lot. Would you put him at the top, or do you have one of the other guys ahead of him?
No, I think he's the best. I think he's the best punter in the NFL probably right now.
Yeah. Wisnowski, I've got next, San Francisco's, and I think that's just because of he's younger than Johnny Hecker.
I was going to say age at this point. He's younger and got a bigger leg than Hecker or Andy Lee do.
Yeah, I've actually got Lee as the last of the four. That doesn't mean he's bad, but we did see he wasn't always as good last year.
Yeah, he definitely took a step back last year, which, I mean, are we surprised? Again, like I was saying with Robbie Gould, at some point, even great kicker punters, age just catches up to them.
Right. It's true. Coaches, do you put Pete Carroll or Sean McVay at the top?
It's tough to vote against Carroll, but I'm doing it, and I'm going to put McVay up there. only because of last year. And that's not a shot at Carroll's. He's obviously had a better career. But I think right now what McVay is doing is showing to be that the Rams were brilliant in hiring him and had an insightfulness and a forethought that no other teams had. And maybe it was luck. Maybe it was dumb luck. But you know what? Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
I still have Carroll over McVay, and it is by the smallest of margins. It's hard to, since a Carroll, guy that, oh my gosh,
continuously just wins. Like, they just make the playoffs every year.
Yes, and McVay,
how good would that be to have that problem as a Cardinals fan,
right? And McVay, what's interesting about him is that it felt like last year he didn't look as genius because he made Jared Goff look great. And then Jared Goff made him look not great. So I don't know what happened there, but he took, like, his team in some ways took a step back, but they were still really good. That's the thing I find really hard to, it's like, the Rams, for as frustrating as they were, had a top 10 offense and defense, and played at times like the best team in the NFL, and then they go and do things like lose to the Jets. I don't get it.
It's a tough, so, it's a tough gig, but I think
just get Carroll over McVay right now, and I think maybe it's the Super Bowl, the multiple Super Bowl appearances, the Super Bowl championship. Even though he's obviously been doing it for longer, McVay. And I don't know,
and he's won the NFC West more recently, than what McVay did. I mean, McVay's only won it once. Carroll's won it, I think, twice since McVay's been the coach there. So it's not like I said, I think at that point you're splitting hairs because they're clearly the top two.
Shanahan is obviously the next one. And I have Cliff Kingsbury at the back, which is interesting perception-wise with Kingsbury, because Kingsbury has exactly done what he's done, exactly what he's been asked to do. He took a terrible team, fixed the offense, and then they took the next step last year. And they were nearly a playoff team. Had they not been in the position they were, had they finished 8-8 and missed the playoffs without even thinking about where they were in the middle of the season, we'd say, yeah, Kiff's doing this. But it was the late season falterings that kind of put him on the hot seat, strangely. And I feel like Kyler Murray is getting more credit for the Cardinals' success than Cliff Kingsbury. And I don't necessarily think that's fair, but that said, if I'm picking a coach, I'm picking him last in the NFC West. I'm picking the other three guys first, even though Kyle Shanahan's record isn't good. That's the weird thing. It's not. His record's not good. It's just he had a much higher high.
Yeah, and so that just makes it difficult. I think those are the accurate rankings and what we talked about to open up the show and how we'll close the show. Like, as unfair as it sounds, this is going to fall on Cliff at this point because, you know, we went through it. We discussed it. The Cardinals, you know, have a toss-up number two quarterback in the division. They have, you know, a very good running back room, what we're expecting to be a good wide receiver room. They have potentially the best offensive line in the division. They have a good defensive line, good pass rush room. They're young, obviously, at linebacker, and they have some deficiencies at corner, but no more than the other teams do either, right? And so all of that being said, it's kind of at the point where it's either put up or shut up time for Cliff as he, like you said, takes the whatever the next step is. It's either the guy that can lead them to the playoffs and get them there, or, you know, he's the guy before you find the guy, right? Hopefully. But
he's he's the Wizen Hunt Bruce Arians that's coming.
I mean,
Denny Green to Ken Wizen Hunt, perhaps.
Right, but that's the thing is it, you know, if you, you know, if you go 9-8 and miss the playoffs, you improve by a game, but you miss the playoffs. I mean, you better have a solid plan in place. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
You can't blow this thing out as they improve every single year to go back to mediocrity. But that's the unfairness and the reality of what Cliff Kingsbury is walking into this year. And it's not that you and I don't believe in him, but the reality is he's the fourth best coach until he proves otherwise.
It's true. So let's bring it to the teams. How would you rank the teams? It's kind of odd. So if we talked teams for me, the team with the fewest questions about their roster to me is the Cardinals. That said, I've been consistent this offseason in saying I think the LA Rams are the best team in the NFC, and that's without regard. That's even with the questions that they have on defense, that because they have the best defender in football in Aaron Donald and the best cornerback in Jalen Ramsey, the other stuff kind of takes care of itself. And so I have the Rams as the number one team in the division, and it's hard. So honestly, you can make an argument for all four teams. Putting Arizona at the top would be super homerish, but if you count on Kyler Murray to be better and you have fewer questions about the roster than other teams, guess what? You can make the case for them to be the best team in the division. So I put LA first, the Cardinals second, then I go San Francisco, and then Seattle.
Yeah, and I would say it's the Rams, and then I think it is Arizona. I would say Seattle next, just because I expect San Francisco to make the move at some point. But when we say this, I'm thinking, you know, like 12-5 for LA, 10-7 for Arizona, and then 9-8 and 8-9, or 9-8 and 9-8 for the Seahawks and 49ers. Like, I'm expecting all these teams to be good again.
Yes, and it's going to come down. It's going to come down to how they perform against one another in the division.
Well, and that's the thing, is you look at it, obviously San Francisco was not, but the Cardinals and Rams played a Week 17 game to see who went to the playoffs. That's how close this division is. Barring injuries to quarterbacks, obviously, I think that's the caveat, but I would say barring injuries to quarterbacks, you know, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, and JJ Watt. And we can throw Nick Bosa in there again. You are expecting all four of these teams to be competing, you know, into week 14, 15, 16, 17 this year. Well, games 14, 15, 16, 17 this year.
And with that will end this edition of the Rise Up Sea Red Podcast, episode 310. For the next few weeks, you won't hear from Seth because we have 14 episodes. Well, we've got 14 opponent previews coming up before training camp. Whether I divide those up as individual episodes or do it like last year, I had to think three or four combined. That's what's coming up. There'll be a show at least every week leading up to training camp with the opponent previews. And then we will jump to our training camp preview the week the training camp begins. So thanks again for listening to the Rise of Sea Red Podcast. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. I'll be back next week with some interviews of the team opponents. Thanks for listening, and go Cardinals. Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red Podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up, Sea Red.